Good morning.
Good morning.
Good to see you all. Glad to have an opportunity to come and share. Thank you, Pastor Mac, for offering this opportunity. Pastor Mac, we appreciate the fact that through these few years now and many more to come, you're sharing and being faithful to the Word of God. And I believe this church has always stood for the truth of God's Word. And appreciate your carrying on that tradition. And maybe tradition is not the right word. And thank you all for being faithful and keeping the church alive. It takes not just the pastor, but it takes you. It takes the whole congregation. And Pastor Mac, I'm just kind of wondering this morning, since you're not preaching, will the pigs will miss out on a sermon, won't they? Because I often heard you talk about preaching on Sunday morning to the pigs. So.
That tradition kind of died.
Okay.
All right. The pigs are pretty well lost anymore.
All right. Let's pray again. Thank you, Lord, for Pastor Mac's prayer here this morning. And I just add to that now and ask you, Lord, that I might stand behind the cross so that we might see Jesus, whom we worship. In his name we pray. Amen. I had said something to Pastor Mac. Am I coming through okay? Okay. I had said something to Pastor Mac a couple of weeks ago about what I kind of had in mind for the message, and I was thinking about Isaiah chapter 53. And then I realized that Pastor Mac had preached on the suffering servant some here in times past. He said, oh, go ahead, you know, that's a couple of years ago. And I actually, early in the week, began to study on that, and suddenly something else came to me. And I just turned to that. And so this morning I'd like to share some thoughts about a subject that you're all familiar with. Matter of fact, all have experienced, at least in part of that. And the subject is sin and death. And we all know something about the sin. And we all in our lives experience the death part as we live our lives as well. But I want to present this morning in what I call the big picture. And I was a little concerned about what book of the Bible to use a passage from, because sin and death is all the way through the Bible. So if it's okay with you this morning, I'll just preach from the whole Bible. Is that all right? Well, I'll not do that. Exactly, but in a way, you'll see that it does cover the whole Bible. And I want to begin with the beginning and end with the end. In other words, I want to visualize with you this morning, and you visualize with me, if you imagine that that wall over there was in the beginning and that God created, and imagine that that wall over there is when time will end. And then we have the new heaven and the new earth, etc. So we have the beginning and the end. We have what we might call a time picture. God is eternal, but God has fit this picture in, we call time. Time began back in Genesis. Now, I want to begin with Genesis chapter 3. You know the creation story, but I want to begin with chapter 3. This third book of the Bible, and I want to end with the third book, not the third book, third chapter from the beginning, end with the third chapter from the end. And so the beginning to the end, we want to see a big picture about sin and death. Before I go any further, let me take one verse that Pastor Mac read and then add another verse to it that will put in a framework what we're going to be talking about tonight. Sin entered the world by one man, Adam. And death passed upon all men because all have sinned. And you saw the two words, death and sin there. And then this scripture, First John chapter 3, verse 8. He who sins is of the devil. For the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. And actually, that's what we're going to be talking about today, what we just read there. but we'll expand on it considerably. And I want you to imagine with me now as we go back to the beginning. I'm not going to talk about the creation story, but I want to talk about where sin began. And of course, you're familiar with the story of Adam was told that he was not to eat of this one tree, the fruit of this one tree. It was forbidden fruit. And he was told, and you help me out here now, he said, if you eat of that tree, you will, say it again, you will die. Now, God doesn't lie, does he? So, if they ate of that forbidden fruit, they would die. We know what happened then. God gave him a helpmeet called Eve. And Eve was in the garden, and Satan, in the form of the serpent, came to her and tempted her. And basically said, oh, God, it's just pulling your leg, so to speak. You won't die. You won't surely die. And she argued with him a little bit, but Satan won out. And she ate of the forbidden fruit and gave to her husband. Now, the story is, if you eat of that fruit, you will die. They ate of the fruit and they died. You say, wait a minute. They didn't die. Well, there's physical death and there's spiritual death. And understand that death is not the cessation of life, but it's separation. And physical death is the separation of the soul and the spirit from the body. And that didn't happen immediately because Adam lived to be 930 years old. And his wife must have lived in a similar amount of time. And they had children. Not just the three children we read about in the scriptures, but we know they had to have many children because he told them to be fruitful and multiply. And that's what they surely must have done. So that's physical death, the separation of the soul and the spirit from the body. Spiritual separation is the separation of man from God. Adam was like this with God in perfect relationship. But when they ate of that forbidden fruit, they died spiritually. They experienced spiritual death. And so we need to separate those two and know what we're talking about. And so we're back there now in the garden, and this is what happened. But God is not willing that any should perish. In other words, he gave this edict or admonition, you eat that, you will die. But God is not willing that man would suffer eternal punishment. Rather, that we might repent and come to the knowledge of the truth and be saved. And in that garden, God did something for Adam and Eve. He gave them skins of animals to replace the fig leaves they had tried to cover themselves with them. Those fig leaves represented man's works, and we know that no works of righteousness will succeed. No works of righteousness will be enough to cover sin because the Bible says that our works of righteousness is like filthy rags. And so God gave them skins of animals, which he could only produce by killing an animal. And so an animal was killed to be a substitute. Animal died a death and substituted for their sin. And he presented these. Now the Bible says that God clothed them with the skins. But since I believe that God, I don't believe I know this, God gave man a freedom of will. And that's why they were able to choose to sin and eat of that fruit of that tree. Having given them that freedom of will, I believe that Adam and Eve had to willingly say, yes, I'll receive these coats of skins to cover with. And so by faith, I believe, they did that. Now understand that that happened back here, way back here. But it pointed all the way up to the cross. Pointed up to the cross. And it was a type of what would happen when Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, who would shed his blood to take away the sins of the world. And of course, when we receive him by faith, we receive that blood sacrifice for our sins. Another thing that happened back there was that God had a little talk with the devil, which happened right before what I just told you. and told him something which I'm going to read from in your scriptures. If you look with me in chapter 3 of Genesis, and I'm going to go down to verse 14. And the Lord said, God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, you are cursed more than all cattle and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust. And all the days of your life I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." Now, before I proceed talking a little bit about that, I want to throw this in, and hopefully I'll not distract myself. Now, you'll notice that the word woman is used there, and it's used other places. And so if I were a candidate for the Supreme Court, I believe I could tell you what a woman was, okay? And you'll notice also, as you read through this passage of Scripture, it talks about husband and wife. The husband is the man. The wife is the woman. Husband and wife. Well, I just thought I'd throw that in there for extra. Now, look at the passage. "I will put enmity between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." The seed of Satan, let's put it that way, versus the seed of the woman. Now, have you ever heard someone say, and I had this experience quite a number of years ago, and district level, we were around a table and having some conversation. And I'm not sure what came up, but apparently this person must have said something that caused me to wonder how he thought about things. And I said, "Well, you do believe in the virgin birth, don't you?" Well, he said, "I just don't think it's important whether I believe in it or not." Well, this is what this scripture is talking about. The seed of the woman. Everyone who has been born into the world, all of you, all of us, has been born into the world, is born of the seed of man, except for Jesus Christ. So we're talking about his virgin birth, which occurred 2,000 years ago. Okay? And so it says the seed of the woman, who is Jesus Christ, born into the world, will crush, another translation would say, will crush the head of the serpent, even though in the meantime the seed of the serpent and all of his minions will do damage to the seed of the woman. In fact, cause him to go to the cross. So, have that there. He said that all the way back there in Genesis, but it was pointing up to the cross. So, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now let's talk a little bit about God's plan for the ages, and we've already started that. I've said before that God is not willing that any should perish, but he might repent and come to the knowledge of faith. We've talked about some things that happened back there in the garden, which pointed to the cross. And as we go in and go through the book of Genesis, and in the book of Exodus, you know what happened there in the book of Exodus. When the 10 plagues were put upon Egypt in order that he might set his people, the Jews, Israel, free, that they might escape bondage. And there were those 10 plagues, and the last plague was the plague of the firstborn. But God had told them that if you will kill a lamb and shed that blood and place it on the doorpost and the lintels, when the death angel passes over, he will pass over you because the blood was applied. And every place where the blood is not applied, the firstborn will die. Well, that's what happened when the death angel passed over. There was mourning all throughout Egypt because of the death of the firstborn. But in Israel, among the Israelites where the blood was applied, there was no shedding of tears because they escaped that. Again, that pointed to the cross. When Jesus sees the blood applied to our hearts, when we receive him by faith, he said, I will pass over you and you will not experience spiritual death. And we go through the Old Testament. We have that Passover scene that we just described, and Jews celebrated Passover ever since. And when we have communion and our love feast services, we think back to the time of that Passover, how they were freed from bondage, and they celebrate the Passover to remember what God did for them in freeing them from bondage. And you and I are freed from the bondage of sin by the Passover lamb. So put that in perspective. We're talking about sin and death and getting rid of sin and death. Let me read this scripture, which is found in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 and on. Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for us. And one of my favorite scriptures is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, that he who knew no sin was made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And when we're in Christ, God looks down and he said, I see the blood and I'll pass over you. He looks down and sees us as righteous in Christ, and we are saved, and God recognizes us as people who have been redeemed and covered by the blood. Now, let's kind of go on from there. And this is Old Testament. This is history we've talked about. But let's go on from there. The cross occurred, the work of the cross. And following that, Jesus Christ, after being raised from the dead, 40 days later ascended to heaven, and 10 days after that sent back the Holy Spirit to call out a church. And we now live in the church age. That's where we are now as believers. But this church age will come to an end. It will come to an end when Jesus Christ comes in the air and receives the church, receives us who are believers unto himself. The dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. That's called the rapture of the church. And when that rapture occurs, there will be no righteous people left on the earth after that rapture occurs. And if you're in a right relationship with Jesus Christ, you will go up to be with him. But let's go on from there. Following the rapture of the church is what we call the tribulation period, a seven-year period, which is going to be a terrible time. And there'll be a lot of sin and death. But at the end of that, Jesus Christ will come back to earth 7 years after the rapture, according to the scripture, the way I understand it. Come back to earth to rule and reign. And think of this now. Where are you going to be during the tribulation period? Well, if you're in Christ, you've been resurrected. You've been raptured out. And Jesus says that where I am, you may be also. And so you're with Jesus in heaven during this tribulation period. But when Jesus comes back to rule and reign on the earth for that 1,000-year period, a lot of things will occur there with the Armageddon and so forth, and I'll not go into detail about that. But you and I, who are saved, will come back with him. We'll come back with Jesus. Read that in Revelation chapter 19. Come back and rule and reign with him on the earth for that 1,000 years. And quickly, let me just go on from there. Satan's going to be bound during that time. The author of sin and death is going to be bound for 1,000 years. But during that period, there's going to be people born. There's going to be people who follow Jesus, born who follow Jesus, choose to do that, but some won't. And at the end of the millennium, end of that 1,000 years, the scripture says that Satan will be loosed for a season. And those who rebel, there will be some who rebel, and they'll want to follow Satan. But God will put an end to that in a hurry. Fire will come from heaven, they'll be destroyed. And then, And then Satan will be cast into eternal judgment. I want you to understand this. Back there, sin and death began, and the author of sin and death is the devil. But back there, the author of sin, over here, the author of sin and death is going to be cast into eternal hell, and death will be no more. One more thing happens after that, a great white throne judgment, and I have reason to say something about that. The great white throne judgment. When all the dead of all the ages will be resurrected who are not saved, who have not accepted Christ, who were not believers. They will be resurrected and appear at the great white throne judgment, and they will be judged. And it will be determined that their names are not found in the book of life, and they will be cast into eternal hell forever. Well, we don't live in history, do we? We live now. And we know about the future from the prophecy of Scripture and some things we can read about and some predictions, but we live right now. But let me just share with you this as we live in the now. April 10, 2022. Where do we stand? What if that rapture would occur tonight? Where will you spend eternity? Well, you can answer that based on your answer to what you did about the cross. You see, God provided a way for us to be saved. God provided a way that our sins would be washed away. And he did that by the sacrifice of his own son. He experienced death for me on the cross in order that I might be righteous in God's sight. And so one day there's going to be two judgments. There's going to be the judgment seat of Christ, which will occur right after the rapture. That's where all believers will be judged for works they've done in their body and be rewarded accordingly. Not to judge whether they're saved or not, but to judge about their rewards. And then there's a great white throne judgment, which I spoke of a moment ago. You and I, each one of us, will appear at one of those judgments. God forbid that it's going to be the great white throne judgment. But that'll be determined by what you did at this judgment. How do you receive this judgment on your behalf? Jesus, and we talk about this so much at this time, Jesus, the Son of God, gave his life on Calvary's cross. He paid it all. He said at one point, "It is finished," meaning that that's a sacrifice to end all sacrifices. Back here, they sacrificed every year. The high priest would go into that tabernacle and go into behind the Holy of Holies, or in the Holy of Holies, behind that curtain, and he would sprinkle blood on the mercy seat which covered the Ark of the Covenant. And understanding that Ark of the Covenant, one of the things that was in there was the tablets of stone, the commandments, which represented what Israel, in this case, had broken. They broke those commandments. But the high priest would go in there one time a year on the Day of Atonement, and he would be behind there, and he would sprinkle blood on that mercy seat. And God would look down from heaven, and I'm just saying this perspective, would look down on the mercy seat and say, "When I see the blood, I will pass over you." Are you here today and you can say, "God sees the blood and he'll pass over me"? There is sin and death, but we have a provision to escape all of that, to escape spiritual death and to escape the power of sin on our lives. So this is today. Let me just refer to a couple scriptures again as I come to a close. Chapter 5, again, of Romans. And you had the scriptures that our brother read. I'm going to begin with verse 15. "But the free gift is not like the offense of Adam. For if by one man's offense many died, much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. Therefore, as through one man's offense judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience many will be made righteous. Romans chapter 6, verse 8 and 9 declares something that's kind of hard to understand. But if you think about when you're saved that you're in Christ, understand this. Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ had been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 21. For since by man's death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. The same chapter, verse 45. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a living spirit. All of us have inherited the Adamic nature. In effect, we were born in Adam. But the scripture tells us in 1 Corinthians that the second Adam, Jesus Christ, came, and we can have life in the second Adam. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He didn't come to condemn the world, but that the whole world through him might be saved. But whosoever believeth is not condemned, but whosoever believes not is condemned already. On Thursday evening, as been announced, you have communion service. I trust you'll be here for that. Lord willing, Carol and I would like to come and join you. Now, you can be saved without taking communion. You can be saved without being baptized. Those two things don't save you, but they're important. When you're baptized, you publicly demonstrate what happened inside you, that you died to self and became alive in Christ, that your salvation experience. And when we take communion, we publicly remember what Jesus Christ did for us and publicly give thanks. Now, we can do that other times, but it's a special time to do that in communion. Excuse me for advertising this so strongly, but I believe in it. It's so important. Like I say, not to save you, but it's important for your relationship with Almighty God that you do this. And so I admonish you to remember, if Jesus Christ means that much to you, then let's remember him together as you partake of the bread and remember that his body was broken on Calvary's cross for us. You partake of the juice and remember that Jesus Christ shed his blood for our sins. He was made sin for us who knew no sin. Let us pray. Father God, thank you for your word and your truth. And I just pray that things I've shared today has been shared in a way that can be received and understood, and that we have a desire to show forth the love that you showed forth to us when we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. We pray your blessing on this church, Pastor Mack and Jennifer, as they lead the church, and others who are deacons and trustees and have responsibilities, Sunday school teachers. I pray for your fresh anointing Sunday after Sunday and week after week as the work goes forward in this church. And thankful, Father, just for opportunity to share something here today. And I pray your blessing on our lives as we go forward and desire to glorify you and to remember Jesus and what he did for us. In his name we pray. Amen. Hymn number 503. And I trust that this is something you're singing because it's really on your heart. Since Jesus came into my heart.